It is Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free, take control of the airwaves here. Bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well at Skype username lrn.fm. Plus, our Discord on-air call-in line room is available to you as well. So hop on in there, and you will sound almost like you're in the studio here with us. In that studio is Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
So tonight, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I did watch the Sacha Baron Cohen Showtime series
Borat
premiere. Yeah, so the guy who did Borat, the guy who did Ali G.
Bruno.
And Bruno, he's back with four new characters. And so we can talk about that coming up here tonight. Also, universal basic income, of course, is back in the news. This time, in a place where we like to read about things, the Foundation for Economic Education has a piece about this. And, you know, we're seeing all this media in the mainstream media promoting universal basic income. Everybody needs to get a check from the government. And so we're going to dig into that coming up here tonight. You can, of course, join us here at 855-450-FREE. But Conan, let's start with you. You were in court recently.
Yeah, finally got that traffic citation, that vehicle inspection taken care of.
The one that you hadn't gotten in like 4 years, basically?
4.5 years, 25,000 miles later. I just was driving around, just minding my own business, doing my thing, and they finally got me. They finally cracked down on me, and it was an experiment of sorts.
You going to court was an experiment, is what you're saying.
Me driving around without vehicle inspection was an experiment.
To see how long you could do it for?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. So you said driving, not traveling. So you weren't doing one of these, you know, sovereign citizen right to travel things.
Yeah, I don't follow any of that.
Okay.
I don't know that it works. I know that people claim that it works. But as Ian points out every single time these guys call in, I have never seen the evidence of it ever working. So if it does, I want to see the video.
Wait, the evidence of car inspections?
Of the fighting, the traveling.
I was traveling, and I was not in an automobile. I was in a horseless carriage.
Yeah, I would love
to see it work. The constitutionality of free travel.
I'd love to see it work. Dick Marple, who is a state representative, state rep Dick Marple from Hooksett, New Hampshire, he has gone to court and has tried some of those kind of sovereign man arguments. We've got video footage of it over at the Free Keen YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've ever really seen somebody go into a court and really who knew their stuff. Because, I mean, I've kind of tried some of this stuff in the past and just got shot right down. Dick Marple was a real show. Did you ever see that video, Conan?
I've seen segments of it. I haven't sat down and watched the entire length of it.
I think it's probably like a 30-minute video or something around that range. He gets an arraignment, and then there's another one where he's on trial.
Isn't it he wouldn't even go up to the stand?
He will not cross the bar.
He stood behind the bar?
Right. Like a lot of them say to do or not, because
if you cross the thing, then you're entering their jurisdiction
something...
That's the claim, and so, you know, he sort of stood on that concept, the idea that he did not consent to their jurisdiction throughout all of his interactions with the judge, and he, you know, he believes that he kind of wins in some ways, even though he doesn't ultimately win, even though they found him guilty, and I asked him, well, are you going to appeal this? And he said, well, no, because if you appeal it, then that means you're consenting to their system.
Yep.
Well, I've heard other people say that you have to appeal it in order to, like, prove that you're not consenting or something.
Well, the court would never accept that on appeal, so
right,
it wouldn't
go
anywhere.
There are a lot of weird theories about this, and they all seem to be conflicting.
Right, because none of this crap actually works. And so people cook up all kinds of theories, and most of them never actually put them into play.
Right.
So whenever I can find somebody who's willing to put this stuff into play, whether it be Jay Noon, who is a longtime listener and supporter, even co-host here on Free Talk Live, who actually stood on his own property, or what he thought was hopefully would be his property, but the town stole it from him, in Palmer, Massachusetts, where he bought a house and never paid property taxes on it. That's the kind of, you know, courage that people just don't have. They sit there and they research and they research and they research and they opine on the internet about all these court ideas, and they can point to all these Supreme Court, you know, decisions to back up their arguments. But when it comes time to actually being in the courtroom, most of them won't do it.
Right.
There was one guy Actually, now there's been two guys who've come to New Hampshire. I'm not even going to name names, but there was one several years ago who came here and purported to be like one of these gurus, right? Like one of these courtroom gurus. He has beaten the government. He's got a record of beating the government, and he's gonna do it here. So I was like, all right, great. Well, you know, go right ahead downtown, get yourself a parking ticket or something. Yep. I mean, super easy. You want to nab a ticket in New Hampshire, just go ahead and park downtown for a few hours.
Get your Waze zapped out and figure out where the traffic, the speed traps are.
That's going to take longer, honestly. I mean, because there really aren't that many speed traps in New Hampshire. I mean, you can drive from here to Concord.
I guess living here, I always notice them and pick up on
them. Well, the downtown, Keene police are around a lot, but they're not always doing speed traps. Usually they're on the roads driving while they're running their radar, at least from what I've seen with Keene police.
Yeah.
State police will do speed traps, but you rarely see them when you're driving. You know, you can drive an hour, hour and a half in New Hampshire and not see a single cop outside of the cities. So it'd be easier to just leave your car downtown, go shopping for a while, and then come back. You've got a ticket.
Right.
So you want a challenge. So anyway, I said to this guy, oh, you go to court. If it's in Cheshire County, I'm definitely going to be there. You know, if it's somewhere else, I'll do my best to get there. I mean, I live 5 minutes away from the courthouse here, and that's on bike.
Right.
So, and he never did get a ticket in Keene. He kind of moved up to, I think, like Weir, New Hampshire is this kind of town between here and Concord, basically, and disappeared for months. Nobody saw him at any kind of meetup, which isn't uncommon. There are people who come here and they kind of keep to themselves or whatever. But, you know, he wasn't out there rattling the cage of the police, right, and getting himself a ticket so he could prove his claims. And then we have this thing called Pork 411, which is a voicemail messaging service for activists. So it's not used that much anymore, but it really used to be a way for people to communicate. And so he leaves a Pork 411. And on that Pork 411, which is a message system that's delivered to hundreds of recipients via email, he announces that he is going to be leaving New Hampshire and he wants to anoint someone who's willing to learn the rules of the court, who's willing to be his student. He's willing to pass on all of his knowledge to that willing student. Just
the knowledge
in touch with
that
him.
He never actually implemented.
At least provably in front of anybody here. You know, he claimed to have done it where he came from and wherever it was. But so he's, you know, making this announcement on Pork 411 that he's going to impart all of his knowledge to you. Just get in touch with him before he leaves New Hampshire. And that was the last we heard of him. And then there was another guy who was about a year and a half.
A true master of the arts never displays his power unless in self-defense. Right?
Well, now, that would be something one of them might say.
Yeah. Hold on, but David Copperfield does shows all the time. He David just doesn't show is, people the secrets.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But he's a showman as well. I'm talking about the master of the arts. I'm talking about the Jedi masters.
No, I get your point, Conan, and that would be something that one of
Jedis
them might say.
Jedis don't actually exist, Conan.
Just, how do you know? Just to, it was a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago.
Right?
Right, so they all died off. They no longer exist.
Could be. You might be right.
If I can imagine it.
It could be true.
Could be
there's
true.
Porn of it. Oh, wait.
Yep,
different. I bet you there is, too.
No, actually.
Oh, there is.
I bet you there's a lot of Star Wars porn.
There is.
Yeah.
A lot of Slave Leia.
So the other guy, so I'm going to tell you the second story
the
now.
The Knights of Ren.
So the other story was more recent, maybe like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, last
like
couple
that.
Of years.
There was a dude who came here, made a big show about how, you know, doing activism, and he did some good activism. I'll give him some credit. But at the same time, he was also one of these courtroom theorists who, you know, purported to know his stuff. This guy actually was arraigned on something. And I was there to record that arraignment. And he tried to do some of the courtroom shenanigans.
How long ago was this?
About a year and a half, maybe. Within the last two years.
Yeah.
And so he tried it, and it went nowhere, of course, in the arraignment. And then he skipped out on his next court date, so there's a warrant for his arrest.
Interesting.
Yeah. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. But yeah, my offer still stands. For any courtroom gurus who, you know, want to prove their stuff, that you can defeat the state in their own court on a consistent basis. But doing it at least once will be impressive.
Yes.
So I'll be happy to record you if you come here to New Hampshire and get yourself a ticket. 855-450-FREE. We'll talk about Conan's experience coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us on the radio here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-FREE. 3733 joining you tonight. It's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
We're talking about courtroom attempts and failures. And in this case, Conan, you were not a success at winning the case that was against you for basically not having a government inspection.
Correct.
Within 4 years.
I was found guilty. However, I'm chalking it up to a win.
All right. I want to hear about that here. Yep. But I also want you to know about Blink Home Security. You want to talk about affordable and easy? They've got it together at blinkprotect.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live, to save 15%. It's super affordable. Like, I was surprised given the quality and the ease of use. It's a wireless security system. The cameras are wireless. So you unbox, you put the batteries in, and you put the cameras where you want them. Then you just set it up via a Wi-Fi enabled device like your smartphone or tablet. There's actually one piece that does have a wire. That's the power cable for the hub. That's all there is. And you put that kind of like in the central location of where all the cameras are, and you're good to go. So it's super easy. You go to blinkprotect.com/FTL. You'll save 15% because you're a Free Talk Live listener. Blinkprotect.com/FTL. So, Conan, you were up against, what was the maximum fine, do you recall?
$74.40.
So, $74 fine. You managed to...
Don't forget the 40 cents.
And was that with the penalty assessment?
That was with the penalty assessment.
So it was like a $60
fine. $60 fine, according to New Hampshire reg.
In New Hampshire, they hit you with a 24% tax
like that.
On top of the fine.
Which I asked specifically about and got an explanation from the judge and from the prosecutor, I believe, who by the way, was one of the stateies himself.
Yep, they do that here, and the state cops will frequently be their own prosecutor, which is a strange
conflict. Most places,
conflict.
The cops are the prosecutor.
Outside of New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Is that right?
The last time when I dealt with my speeding ticket...
Wasn't that way in Florida?
It was the regular lady, the regular prosecutor.
So you're talking about in the city of Keene. So the city of Keene, they have a prosecutor that works for the police.
That's correct.
But, yeah,
they have
every
two prosecutors.
Time,
they have... The police prosecutor, who's a cop, that does most of the plea deal taking for the Keene police,
right.
But there's also an actual attorney that they have on staff as well. And state police have an attorney, it's just they don't generally come out except for the bigger cases.
But every time I've been to court anywhere, it's generally been the police officer.
Is the prosecutor.
Was the prosecutor, was the witness against me.
Wow.
It's only been, you know, like one or two things in the city of Keene where there's been that city prosecutor.
I figured that was unusual for New Hampshire, but I guess not. No. So anyway, you were facing this trial, and the good news, you were going to explain why you considered it to be a win. Let me guess, because you avoided detection for 4 years ultimately and didn't end up paying a fine.
Ding, ding, ding. That was one. That's number one.
Okay.
Hold on. So how did you avoid paying a fine?
Well, I ended up – well, no, I'm – paying my fine through community service.
Sure, but that's still not paying them, right?
I'm not paying
it's
them.
It's not $75 coming out of your pocket.
No,
it's
5 hours of my life, but I'm spending it at a facility, an organization that I support already.
Yeah, right.
So
you're actually benefiting
win.
The community. You
like somehow I don't think it was stated that you were doing community service on the air, so that's why I'm confused.
But no, Ian brings up the best part about it. I got away with it for 4.5 years.
And
that's $40 per year.
Right. For the inspection. Had you gotten
just
inspection?
The inspection. And there's no telling. If you watched, by the way, this video is up on freekeen.com.
It's
like a 25-minute video. Basically, my argument was, it's a scam. And then I got my original inspection ticket with all of the red flags they found. And I was like, bullcrap.
You went to a dealer. And of course, that's sort of like, that's the typical dealer experience, it seems like, for people, is that they bend them over a barrel.
Yep.
They charge them 2, 3, 5 times as much as they'd end up being charged at a good independent auto shop.
Right.
An honest independent auto shop as well, because they inflate all kinds of things, you know, ordering parts for you you didn't need. And you went through point by point. You actually looked at the inspection during the trial.
Yeah, the only thing they got me on was two bulbs that I wasn't even aware of. One was the license plate bulb. I didn't even see that.
You're saying the only thing they got you that you agreed with.
That I agreed with, correct. Right. But all of the other stipulations, no, it was bullcrap.
Now, somebody's going to say, Conan, you're not an ASE certified technician. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I am a driver, and I don't want to get in a wreck. I don't want my wheels flying off because, you know, the ball joints are as bad as they said they were. I don't want my bumper flying off because it wasn't bolted on, or because the rust is so bad my exhaust pipe falls off.
Not only that, but you're also the person who does all the work, most all of it, on your truck.
I do all the work on my truck. I always have. Yeah. Always will it.
So you're more in tune with your vehicle than the average person. But what about the average person? I mean,
they get taken for a ride, and it's very sad.
I'm playing devil's advocate here, and I'm going to take the side of the statist who wants to see car inspections. The average people don't know what they're doing, Conan. You may know a thing or two about cars, but the average people don't know what they're doing. Shouldn't they be in there inspecting their car every single year and fixing what's wrong with
it? Hold on. Here's a better idea. Why every year? Why not you have to get an inspection every 3 months when you get the oil change?
Every 3 months. There you go. Make it even safer.
Why should individuals who are taking care of their own business, their own affairs, on their own time, their own dime, why should they suffer because of the people out there who don't take care of their own vehicles in their own way and would want to take them to a specialist?
Well, here's the thing.
Why do I have to suffer because of them?
Here's the thing. In addition to that, a police officer can pull someone over for having an unsafe vehicle, whether it's been inspected in the last 365 days or not.
Right. Meaning if he sees a bumper falling off or whatever.
Right. If you've got a door being held on by three strips of duct tape, then you could wind up being pulled over for a safety violation, again, whether you had an inspection or not. Secondarily, there are states with worse weather than New Hampshire that do not have annual vehicle inspection.
Michigan.
There are states near New Hampshire that have gotten rid of annual inspection. Rhode Island just a few years
2009.
Ago.
Right. And not only, you point out that there are other states that don't even have inspections, they also aren't any more dangerous.
Correct.
Those states, as far as like accidents on the road, as far as vehicles falling apart, randomly on the road, they've looked at the statistics. People have done studies on this, and annual inspections don't do jack squat to make a place more safe, to make roads more safe. The statistics are out there. Feel free to go look them up.
Yeah. If you're worried about your safety from your vehicle collapsing on you and as well as other vehicles around you, that's what auto insurance is for. On you.
That's part of it, but you still do, you ought to get your car inspected if you don't know how to do it yourself.
I would rather the insurance companies gave me an incentive as the owner of my vehicle for getting my vehicle inspected to prove to them that, hey, I am driving a safe vehicle. This is the same thing with having any kind of anti-theft detection or airbags. They give me an incentive for having those things. So if I could prove to them that my vehicle is super safe, I think the insurance companies would want that.
This could totally be done.
This is free market all
with market incentives. I do it just because I don't know jack about cars. I've got a good mechanic who takes cryptocurrency here in town. I go twice a year. I usually go in the fall and in the springs, generally. Usually it's at least twice a year. Maybe there's a few years where I only went once. But, I'm usually there. And I don't even have a New Hampshire car. The car that Daryl and I drive belongs to the church. It's registered in a different state. So we don't even have to obey their ordinance or their statute. But because I think safety is important, and I don't want to have a wheel flying off or something like that as I'm going around a corner or whatever, it's important to do that. But I get to look at his recommendations and say, okay, he thinks this is important. I should do this right now, or we can put this one off until X happens. 855-450 free like freedom. We talk more about your trial and how it went here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Bring up what you want. We're talking about going to court and challenging tickets. Conan, you weren't the only activist here in the area who were challenging tickets. Actually, I think it was the day
frivolous tickets, victimless crime tickets.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, are there that many tickets that aren't for victimless crimes?
Not from us. Not from us.
No, I mean in
free
general.
Keeners.
In general, like if you're getting a ticket.
Well, I mean, I guess
you're probably talking about a victimless crime. Yeah, if it's domestic violence, you're getting arrested.
If you take into consideration victim crimes that are due to drug abuse, yeah. due to the drug war.
Yeah, but if you're going to go rip off Walmart because you're trying to feed a crack habit, you know, you're trying to pawn some clothes or whatever it is, you're going to get arrested.
Right.
That's not. They're not just going to ticket you and let you go about your day, I don't think.
Right. Tickets are generally for things that are listed as criminal violations.
Violations. Right. Or traffic violations, which in New Hampshire, you're going to go to a criminal courtroom to.
Right. That's a criminal violation.
Well, in some places, it's traffic court. And it's like completely separated from the whole criminal
system. It's not a civil suit.
No, it's not. But it's also not it's not considered criminal. Like in, you know, New York City, they have like 23,000 traffic cops whose job it is to simply go around write traffic tickets. I suspect there's a traffic court in a place like New York City as well that handles those things.
Someone who does that for a living, call in and tell me how you live with yourself.
They're not going to do that. But if you want to try, if you want to call in with
and
that,
that's,
855.
And that's the young man who got me, the state cop, sergeant, mm-hmm. not sergeant, but Trooper Bernier.
Yep. Real clean cut,
real clean cut, young, real young guy. Yeah, only in the job for a year.
Yep, fresh face.
Call in, dude, and tell me how you live with yourself, because that's all he does is he just hands
out
tickets.
The toll free number is 855-450 free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You know, if you wanted to ask him, you could have stood outside the courtroom and. You know,
well, I did ask him about how he was able to,
you could have asked that on the stand too. They would have objected, but you could have asked it.
Yeah, they did object to my question of whether it was who was the victim? Who was the victim in this crime? And it was immediately objected.
And it was sustained, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. And by the way, Daryl, you asked about the trooper's ability to monitor unsafe vehicles on the highways, on the roadways. And I did. That was most of my questions during cross-examination to this trooper was, do you have the ability to monitor for unsafe vehicles, and have you ever done it? And he agreed that he has done it. And he also talked about the training they receive to be able to spot unsafe vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, this is, you know, not only is it a scam, but these guys who are out there, basically these road pirates who are out there as parasites, living off of, you know, their paycheck is based off of how many tickets they bring in every day. Yeah, they do have the ability to keep it safe.
Indirectly.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, now, one thing that's interesting is whenever there have been bills filed in the New Hampshire legislature to either get rid of inspections completely or make it every 2 years or, you know, just like... make it a little easier, if you will.
Yeah.
The mechanics unions
sure
come out and testify.
Auto dealers.
If you get rid of this, then we'll just lose all kinds of money because nobody will come in to get any cars.
That's not what they say.
They actually say that?
That's not what they say.
That's a losing argument in my book.
That's not what they say. They come in and they bring a box full of old rusted parts and they like dump the parts out on the table and these are the things we found because of mandatory auto inspections.
Yep.
These are the things that we will not find if you don't make people come to us. This is about safety.
Right. So, translation, if you get rid of this, nobody will come get their cars worked on.
Right. That's different than saying we're going to lose a bunch of money. They don't actually say that, Daryl.
In a roundabout way.
Okay. Thanks for admitting that that's not actually what they say.
We
can look between the lines and see what's actually being said, but these legislators, these dumbass legislators, they don't see that. They see safety first. It's for the kids.
Yeah. And that's the same reason why they talked on the decriminalization bill for cannabis. They talked them down from a full ounce decrim to 3/4 ounce. It was literally argued that they needed to do that for the children.
Yeah,
to protect the children. God. We got to protect the children from the extra 1/4 ounce of flowers.
And let's not forget, so you had the auto repair lobby. They would lose a lot of money.
Not really.
But the other entity
they'd probably lose some.
Well, let's look at it this way. Other entity that would lose a lot of money, state of New Hampshire. They collected almost $4 million.
The state sets what the fee for the inspection is.
Do they collect a portion of it?
$4 million annually.
But of like, if you're going in for a $40 inspection,
no. They don't. I don't know if they collect any of that. There's the licensing fee. The auto repair guys have to go to Concord like every month.
Well, that's going to not go away. Licensing fees are going to stay. I'm just wondering, does the state of New Hampshire get a piece of every inspection?
I don't know about that.
They do.
But the actual
How much?
But the actual inspection.
I'll have to pull up the RSA.
Okay. I mean, it's not a critical question that needs to be answered right now, but...
But I mean, just take, for example, my bill. They tried, this dealership tried to charge me $1,500. And all of it was, except for two bulbs, $3 bulbs each.
Was premature.
That was it.
Unnecessary.
I think it was premature and unnecessary. So, I mean, just that's a lot of damn money.
It sure is. And you're just one of their victims.
Yep.
Or intended victims. They didn't get away with
it with
you.
And by the way...
some little old lady goes in there, they're going to get away with it. They're probably going to hit her for $2,000.
It's quite possible. Now, I did get some recommendations from people who live in the area. It's like, no, you did it wrong. You need to go to the inspector
so-and-so.
Who doesn't do any repair work. They're right, by the way, but that's
really?
Slave mentality. Instead of trying to get rid of the law, trying to fight the law, they're like, no, you just weren't a good slave.
Well,
the average person doesn't
know how to fight the law, and you can't fight City Hall is a very common refrain, right? Like you've heard people say that before.
And if you do fight them, it takes a long time to
it's
win.
It's a lot easier to just jump through the hoops.
Yep. Or figure out the loopholes, and that is, don't take it to someone who does the repairs. Take it to someone who has no incentive to find things to fix because they won't fix it. They'll just say, all right, this is bad, do it yourself, or go find someone to do it for you.
Hmm.
So they don't have the incentive to actually find just crap, unnecessary repairs.
How many places are there like that? A place that just does inspections?
I found one that might do a little repair work,
uh-huh.
but they don't specialize in it.
Huh.
And I'm not going to tell them online. I'm not going to tell anyone on air. If you want to know the place,
I don't need to know.
Get a hold of me, and I'll set you up.
Like I said, I get the car that we drive inspected anyway because it's a good practice.
Right.
And I can pay crypto. I can pay cryptocurrency for it. So how many places can you do that? How many places have an auto repair shop?
Not outside of New Hampshire, anyways.
Where you can pay... Well, maybe there is. I mean, you can go to coinmap.org, and I bet you could find something. You know, we thought, well, maybe we got the first golf course that takes crypto, because that's a thing here, too.
Yep.
I've never been to it, because I don't play golf, so I don't think they've ever had a single client.
That is actually interesting. But I guess you got some techies... Some young techies, millennials who might be into golfing. None of us are in golfing. I think that's a dumb sport.
No, but these are actually libertarians who run the golf course. So, at least as I understand it.
So, looking up the fees, the fee for inspection stickers shall be $3.25 for each sticker furnished.
And that's paid through the car dealer.
Yeah. Right? So the...
Because they give you the sticker, don't they?
The place that does the inspection... They have to pay, it's a yearly fee of, I think it was like $50, and then there's a set fee here's what the sticker cost.
Yep.
25 cents of that goes to the Motor Vehicle Pollution Abatement Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Another 25 cents goes to the general fund.
Okay, but basically it's $3-4. $4.
Just for the sticker, and then there's whatever fee for the inspection.
Right. So of a $40 inspection, about a tenth of it's going to the state.
Sounds about right, okay. Yes.
Times at least a million vehicles.
Right. However many vehicles there are in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Maybe so a little less than... You think there's that many? There's 1.3
million 1.3
million
population. Some people have two cars.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Some people have zero cars. Yeah, you're right. So let's just say 500,000.
At least. Yeah, that seems real safe. I'd say probably... You know, more than that. But anyway, toll-free number if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. And kudos to you, Conan, for taking this to trial because you made the state work for their money.
They worked 25 minutes. I got a trooper off the streets for an hour.
They prepared the case.
Got a trooper off the streets for an hour and a half.
That was just 25 minutes in court. There was some preparation that went into that.
About
well.
550,000 cars in New Hampshire,
what's
roughly.
That from, Wiki?
Statistica.com.
Interesting. All right, more coming up here. You can share your thoughts, whether it's about court or car inspections or whatever's on your mind. You can take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE. It is Free Talk Live. You're invited if you want to join us on the radio. To do that, you can dial in here toll free and take control of the airwaves. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm, joining you tonight, Ian here.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
Our Discord on-air call-in line room is also available to you over at discord.lrn.fm. And there's a cool app that you can use if you like that kind of thing. If you don't care for apps, there's a web version of Discord that you can use as well. And it's basically a chat server with multiple rooms of different topics. There's one for cryptocurrency, one about New Hampshire, and other different topics like Free Talk Live, which is where people hang out during the show. But again, it's there before, during, and after Free Talk Live. And Conan, you and I are frequently found in that Discord server. So if you want to join the discussion online constantly, or as often as you want, it's there for you at discord.lrn.fm. And again, that's where our on-air call-in line room is. If you're on the Discord server, it makes it easy to call the program. Let's go to the phones, and we'll talk to Eric in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Eric.
Hi. Thanks for putting me on the line. Thank you.
No problem. That's what we do. What's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to so there's a sort of a move to draft Pat Byrne to run for Libertarian nomination for president.
Patrick Byrne, the guy who founded Overstock.com, that Patrick Byrne?
Yes.
Okay. The guy who actually was the first billion-dollar corporation to accept cryptocurrency, to take Bitcoin way back in the day?
Yes, that's the very same one.
Got it. Okay.
And, I recently knew about Overstock and about his recently of him accepting the cryptocurrency, but I didn't hear until very somewhat recently. So there's mainly he was being pushed. Well, I don't really like the word push, but presented as an option by Michael Heiss of he was the founder of the Libertarian Mises Caucus.
Okay, yeah, right I don't know much about all the various different caucuses and such. So what you're saying is people are asking him to run. He has not yet said he will, I presume.
Right, and I believe he said, but he did. He was asked that at the Pork Fest this year,
okay.
I believe, and he said that he was very much open to it.
Huh, interesting.
And yes,
I wonder if he's a better libertarian than John McAfee. I don't know. I don't know enough about either of them to really say.
Yeah, as far as I can see, he's not as eccentric, though.
Rising to the level of John McAfee for eccentricity would be very, very challenging.
With his own cryptocurrency to boot.
He's got it locked in. Did that ever come out?
We're waiting for it still.
Okay.
It's been a month now.
What was it called? McAfee Bucks or something? I forget what it was called. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would say so. He seems very well knowledgeable about libertarianism and very smart. Go on YouTube. You can probably find a lot of... the talks that he's given at Porkfest and for the Mises Institute as well. From what I can tell is that I don't know if he was he's definitely a voluntarist in spirit, like this is very core. That's what he probably wants. I don't know if he was to run for president, though. I don't know if that would be what his platform would be like instantaneously, though. But
yeah, I mean, it seems very speculative at this point, but I'm glad to hear that he's at least interested. I say, you know, people should throw their hats in the ring and let's find out who the best candidate is in 2020.
Right.
I mean, I'm mildly intrigued to see what happens this time. I'm not going to get my hopes up and expect them to do something different, which would be, you know, what they've been doing since 2008 has been nominating former Republican people who've been elected to some kind of office. So it was Bob Barr, who was a U.S. House, I think, representative in 2008, and then in 2012 and 2016, it was Gary Johnson, who was a former governor Republican governor of New Mexico.
Yeah.
And so if they continue that trend, well, that won't surprise me in the least. If they actually nominate somebody like an Adam Kokesh or John McAfee or Patrick Byrne, as you pointed out, then I would say, wow, okay, that's actually kind of exciting. Oh my gosh, maybe the Libertarian Party has a chance of actually having some kind of impact for the ideas of freedom.
I mean, just for example, look at Trump, the showman. I mean, if you can get someone he has the flair,
the showman
flair that also McAfee has.
For sure. I would love to see Trump debating McAfee on stage. It'll never happen.
Never going to happen.
Because the presidential debates are run by the Republicans and Democrats,
right.
And they're
and
never going
they
to
make
let that
those
happen.
Candidates sign a memorandum of understanding that they will not participate in a debate outside of the Commission of Presidential Debates.
So, anything else you want to share tonight about that sort of thing?
Well, I would just say we'll look into him. I don't exactly know if there's an email we could do this to send a voice to him, but do you think for using this platform to, as you say, just look into him? Other question I'll just ask for Daryl is he considering running?
I'm considering running a 100-mile race in 2020. The one that I had my eyes on, the Keys 100, I'm not going to be able to do just because...
The Florida Keys?
Florida Keys.
Interesting.
That race is happening like 3 days prior to the LP National Convention, and just the travel logistics... It would just wind up being
what month?
Too stressful.
May. You know it's hot down there.
Yes, I'm aware that it gets hot in Florida in May.
It's the sauna, brah.
Hey, thanks for the call, Eric. I appreciate it. Let's go to Dan. He's in Nebraska. Dan, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Dan?
Hey, Ian, Daryl, and Conan.
Hey there, you're on the air.
So you mentioned earlier something about those courtroom gurus, right?
Yeah.
So there was something a little similar that I kind of heard about earlier, and I want to know if anybody's ever talked to you about this. I was at a cigar lounge a couple of months ago, and I met this older libertarian gentleman who was like filling me in on a bunch of this sort of guru info about how if you change your status from like debtor to creditor or something, you don't have to pay income tax anymore. Have you heard anything like that?
Yeah. So this has it sounds like the theory where they'll tell you that your social security number is actually a account number on a secret account that the government has that has like millions of dollars in it.
Oh, but it's not just a secret account. It's also publicly traded on the stock exchange.
Yeah,
you just can't see it because it's secret on the public exchange, which secret and public are completely opposite things.
Yeah. So I've heard something about that, Dan.
Is it for real? Because he was telling me he has.
What do you think?
Income tax for like 20 years. Well, if it's true that he hasn't had to, then like maybe that's worth getting into. But you know,
I also have not paid income tax in about 14 years at this point, and I just haven't filed anything with them. So I think you got to be careful with these filings. You look at like Irwin Schiff, who is the father of Peter Schiff. He died in prison in his 80s. He had written a book that probably at least one book that at least one I know of about his theories around not paying income tax. And I think he was like into filing what they call zero returns, where you're filing a return with the IRS and you claim zero somewhere on something or whatever. And ultimately, they put him in prison for that. So essentially, you're filing a false return or whatever is what they consider.
Right, and then there's also the theory that I've heard to where you file some kind of form and then you become a non-resident foreign national something another, and there's all kinds of weird theories about these things, and people wind up getting dinged with basically either perjury or like unsworn falsifications for your filing fraudulent documents with some government entity.
Yeah, I think you would be better off just not even filing because if you play their game, then you could,
you're arguably submitting to their jurisdiction,
right? Exactly. So do people still smoke cigars?
I've met some who do that, yes.
I saw somebody smoking a cigar on Saturday. There.
Sorry, say again, Dan?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you know, during the day, I want to say, that's when it's open. It's like afternoon only kind of store. I can find at least five or six people there who are just hanging out. And
of course,
a lot of people come in to just,
How does that business stay open? How are they making their money?
Well, I mean, people come in and they just buy them also and leave the store. So, you know, it's kind of like a lounge and a store at the same time.
Because I know we have a vape store here in Keene, but
there's also a cigar bar right next to the vape store.
Really?
Yes.
There are technically two vape stores in Keene and a third one if you want to count Corner News, which also sells.
Yeah, but they're selling things. They're selling juice. And so I know how they stay open.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know people still smoke cigars.
Dan,
thanks, it was a dying art.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. No, a couple people were over here a few weeks ago smoking cigars on the front porch. And they didn't have marijuana in them. They were actual
that's what I mean.
Cigars.
When I see anything, any cigar remnants, it's the wrappings for smoking weed.
For smoking a blunt. Which is a real nice way to smoke some weed.
It's full of bullcrap. It's full of nasty rag tobacco.
You know, if people are pooping in
your
weed.
You take the tobacco out.
Yeah, I know. It's full of nasty tobacco that you wouldn't want to smoke.
But now you can just get the rolling, the papers that are for blunts.
Cherry flavored.
Blunt wraps.
Bubblegum flavor.
All right, there's more on the way here. You can share your thoughts. Coming up, the Sacha Baron Cohen situation with the new TV series and more. It's Free Talk Live.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll free. You can bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And there's Skype as well. Skype username's lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
We got a lot to talk about here this evening. On the way, the Sacha Baron Cohen new series on Showtime that premiered last, I think it was Sunday. It was Sunday night. I was able to see it this week, and I thought it was pretty hilarious. We'll share more about that with you. We've talked in detail about courtroom drama in the first hour. If you want to comment on that, you're certainly still welcome to do so. But Daryl, you had a story tonight about the universal basic income.
Yeah, well, before we get to that, speaking of courtroom drama, some breaking news out of California, where the California Supreme Court has blocked the measure to divide the state into three.
Oh, okay. So this was the Three Californias proposal that had gotten the requisite number of signatures, correct, to get on the ballot.
Yes.
Somebody filed suit against it. Does it say who the entity was that filed the suit? Was it like the state of California, you know, attorney general or something like that, or the secretary of state?
The articles, and I've got two different articles pulled up, one from ABC and one from Fox, both from California affiliates, and they don't specify who the parties were. Story from ABC 7, KGO says the California Supreme Court blocked a measure that would divide the state into three from appearing on the ballot. The court's ruling states that because there are questions about the proposition's validity, the potential harm of putting it on the ballot now outweighs concerns about delaying a vote until a future election. The proposal led by Tim Draper would split the country's most populous state into three new states of near equal population: Northern California, California, and Southern California. And then they explain what the areas would be. Opponents sued. They just say opponents sued, arguing the proposal abolishes the state's constitution, which cannot be done via ballot initiative.
Okay, so how
and
can
it be done? Article from ABC doesn't say. Yeah. The article from Fox says that the measure did get enough signatures and was certified for the ballot. But the article from ABC says there were questions about something.
They would not have sued if it hadn't gotten enough signatures, right? That would have been a waste of money. If it hadn't gotten the signatures, it wouldn't go on the ballot, so end of story.
In some places, the way you challenge the validity of signatures is to file a suit of some sort.
Yeah, that wasn't what the basis was, though, in this case.
That does not appear to be what happened.
They were just
here.
Saying this would be illegal if it passed, is
correct,
what they were saying. And the Supreme Court agreed.
So my thinking, and again, not a lawyer, but since California does allow constitutional amendments to be petitioned onto a ballot, and that's different from just an initiative.
Right. I wonder if it's a higher level of threshold. Okay.
And it also requires a higher number, I believe, higher number of signatures to wind or of the vote to wind up passing.
Okay.
Could probably somehow do some kind of constitutional amendment.
But it ain't happening this year.
Not happening this year, but then again, it would probably get challenged, would probably again go to the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court would be making a determination of whether or not. But in either case, it would still require the U.S. Congress to authorize California to split into two or three or 75.
Yeah, we were talking about this off the air, and I asked the question, you know, could a state just simply abolish itself? And you said no.
Not without congressional approval.
The federal government would have to tell them they have to stick around, even though the states, some of them, formed the federal government initially.
Correct.
The union.
But the Constitution.
Union of states.
Constitution specifies that no new state can be created from an existing state without
approval. How would they do that, though? Like, if the state, I mean, in this crazy fantasy, right, where the state of New Hampshire, you know, this year at the next session or whatever, they decide we're going to abolish ourselves, we're going to shut everything down, we're shutting down the state government, everybody go home, you're not going to get any more paychecks, if you keep coming in, you're not get the power's probably going to get turned off at some point because we're not paying the bill,
so
you're not going to get a paycheck. What is the federal government going
to
do?
We're going to have to go to war, Ian.
No, speculation.
What, and occupy the state house with troops?
Hold on. Speculation. Based on, you know, what happened 100 and however many years ago, the federal government would probably come in and set up its own government and say, we are the official government for
the state of New Hampshire.
after they burn everything down. Because they've got to.
Why would they burn the buildings down?
Well, not all.
It's a nice golden dome.
Not all of them.
Melt the gold down and then, you know, pay off some of the debt.
Okay, so, but wouldn't that be amazing if that actually happened? I mean, that's a crazy
thing
to think
about. It would be amazing if they melted that big giant eagle to pay off debt.
I mean, if the federal government actually came in and physically took over a state that said, yeah, we don't want to exist anymore, and then they came in and tried to run the state government. I mean, can you imagine how messed up that would be? People, I can't imagine, would see it as legitimate at all, number one. So they would be.
Some people would. Some people wouldn't.
But if, of course, that's true. But if the government were to actually do something like that, that would be an indicator that people were sick and tired of the government.
Correct.
And would not recognize the rule of the federal government. So that's what I'm saying. I don't care. As a secessionist, I don't care, and I know you are as well.
Right.
You know, I don't care about asking the government, the federal government, for permission. Whatever the people of this area say goes is what should go.
Right.
And we shouldn't be worrying ourselves about what the federal government's going to say or what the federal government's going to do. We know there's a chance they're going to be a problem, but they're spread so damn thin right now,
right,
with troops all over the world.
And this is one of the reasons that I'm sort of starting to become a fan of this whole Article 5 Convention of States sort of thing. And then I hope that the fearmongers are right, that such a convention would just be a runaway and they'd completely rewrite the Constitution. All right, excellent. Now it's a chance for us to not ratify and then we leave the existing United States.
Wait, so New Hampshire could get out of the United States if there were a constitutional convention
called?
Hold on.
So the theory from the Birchers.
Okay.
That's the John Birch Society, for people that might not be familiar with the term.
It's a right-wing group.
Right-wing group, kind of conspiracy-leaning. Yep.
The UN's behind everything, according to the Birchers.
Yes, yep. And they're turning the frogs gay, fluoride in the water, everything, blah-da-da-da-da.
I'm on board.
The claim by them is that an Article 5 Convention of the States would lead to some runaway thing that would just completely rewrite the Constitution and throw out what we currently have. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, the current document says that things have to be ratified. Yeah, but they could write a new document saying that something else and a different ratification. Okay, so you're saying that like
a universal
basic
income, a universal health care.
But you're saying that, you know, this new thing, certain states would still need to say we ratify or not. Like if it creates a completely new reconstituted United States, then states could opt not to
commit.
Join.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, and that's a problem.
No,
that's a feature.
Awesome. Hell
that's
yeah.
a feature, not a bug. So now we can secede without actually having seceded.
All right.
We're just not rejoining your new thing.
Now, people have been calling about this constitutional convention for years. And I remember at one point the claim was made, somebody called in to say that over all these years that people have been calling for constitutional convention at the nation level, that there have been enough states who've called for it, but it's never actually happened.
Right, because
I don't know if it's true, but that's what they claim.
According to the official documentation from the Federal Secretary of State, some of those calls have been rescinded, and there's never actually been at one time
3/4
the certain number of states.
It's 3/4, right?
I forget if it's 3/4 or 3/5, but whatever it is,
it's a lot. Yeah,
you know, like at any given time, there's not been the number because some of those have been rescinded.
So, according to the Los Angeles Times, here's the answer to our question earlier. The challenge was filed last week. You want to talk about a quick toss? I mean, they just chucked that thing right out. This court challenge in California, filed by the Planning and Conservation League and Environmental Group. So they were worried about their precious environment would go bad if they had three Californians instead of
because
one.
Then the federal government wouldn't own 80% of each of the states or
and
something.
Three states would kill the gay frogs.
855-450 free, like freedom. You can join us on Free Talk Live. Hey, it's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Just dial in toll-free. Take control of the airwaves here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
Liberty.menu is an excellent tool for those of you who are liberty-minded folks. And what I mean by that is individuals who reject the initiation of force and who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. If that describes you, you qualify to use Liberty.menu. So get on over there and get your business listed so other liberty-minded folks, libertarians, voluntarists, liberty-loving anarchists, so they can find what you do. They might be needing the service or product that you're offering, but they don't know you exist. So if you're a customer or want to be a customer, or if you're a business owner, or even an events coordinator or a digital content creator, there's listings for you over at liberty.menu. So head on over there, list your stuff. It's completely free to do it, so there's no reason not to do this. Liberty.menu as we continue here. Oh, and by the way, if you're a Free Talk Live listener, you can use code FTL on your user profile at liberty.menu, and you'll get a special user badge, a Free Talk Live badge.
It's the best badge.
It's huge.
It's pretty nice. All right, so let's see. We were talking about the three Californias. They are not going forward. The judges, I guess the Supreme Court there in California, heard a case. It was a Supreme Court.
State, right? Supreme Court, yes.
They heard that case fast. Apparently, the Planning and Conservation League, an environmental group, brought the case. It was heard within a week and filed within a week or last week and then heard today, I guess. And they shot it down saying, no, you can't have a ballot measure to ask people whether they want to have California split into three different states because that would abolish the Constitution. So that's not the way you should do it, which suggests that there is a way to do it.
There's a way. We're just not going to tell you the way.
Right. Yeah,
they might not know. Because it's never been done before, right?
It's certainly never been done in California before. I mean, we've had states split before, right? Like West Virginia and Virginia.
Right. Split. Well, what happened there was the legitimate government of Virginia, and I'm using air quotes there for people not watching the webcam, the legitimate government of Virginia seceded from the fake government that seceded from the Union.
And the fake government was West Virginia?
No.
Okay. The original Virginia.
Right. So according to the Union Loyalist, Virginia's secession was the fake government. The legitimate government then seceded from the seceding states or
and
the seceding counties.
Virginia.
And then... No, West Virginia claimed to be the legitimate government seceding from the seceding area.
Okay.
So they're saying, we didn't leave the Union, or we didn't leave them,
us. Stop, do it a Virginia accent.
Do you know a Virginia accent?
You could do it Alabama.
Probably, but not under pressure.
Okay.
So that was a little different.
Okay.
To where, you know, like that was a seceding place, seceding from a seceding place that didn't secede.
What about the Dakotas? Were those always separate or were they
those
together?
Those were split when they became states. So there was the Dakota Territory. Uh-huh. And then when they became states, they were admitted simultaneously.
Okay.
Maine split off from
Massachusetts.
That was some kind of act of Congress because a slave state was being admitted.
So this has never happened before
Kentucky,
then.
Kentucky broke away from Virginia, and I forget exactly what the circumstances were around that, but again, I think it was just straight up act of Congress.
It did happen, Ian, and there was that big old war.
According to the story at the Los Angeles Times, a constitutional revision is more sweeping than a statute or constitutional amendment because it changes the basic plan of government. More signatures would have been needed to qualify the ballot measure as a constitutional amendment.
So
but
how,
maybe
so
that's
many,
what they're going to go for.
Yeah, how many more signatures?
It doesn't say that.
And Daryl, who was the...
And I don't think they have time
right.
to
this year.
Wind
Not this
up
year.
Who, getting those
Who
extra.
Was the group who was heading this initiative?
It was Tim Draper.
Some rich guy.
So and would he have to collect signatures from zero if it was another
yes.
year?
Yes, absolutely.
I wonder how much money he spent on signature hunters.
Draper is 60 years old. Yeah. He was an early investor in tech companies, became wildly successful, including Skype. He's also one of the nation's most ardent supporters of cryptocurrencies, such as Bitcoin, according to the story here.
He's a terrorist.
No, he doesn't work for the federal government. But Conan, to answer your question, every initiative starts from zero signatures.
Well, I mean, if he already collected 500,000 this
right,
year.
That's only for this year.
That's and he, only for
that
this
one specific
year.
Proposal. So he would have to make a new proposal.
Correct.
That there be a constitutional amendment or some sort of modification.
Correct.
And then put that forward with however many signatures that requires.
Right, but what I'm asking is you have to collect.
You don't get to carry them over.
But yeah, if it takes more than 1 year to collect the amount of signatures that you needed, that is impossible.
You only get a certain
get
period of time
right.
to collect your signatures.
Right. It's over.
And if you don't collect them, you don't then get to say, oh, well, when we try this next year, we've mm-hmm. already got all of the... Nope. Everything starts from zero.
What an absolute S show. This is what this is like to me. This is like you're in an abusive relationship. You want a divorce with your spouse. And it's like, all right, what do I do? Oh, my spouse is the courtroom and the prosecutor and the judge
and
the jury. The and the jury and the bailiff and the whole
and
nine.
And the court reporter.
Yeah, and the city reporter, so I mean, reporting on the court case, and it's like, how this is,
and the stenographer, and the courtroom artist. So when they put the little devil horns on you in the official courtroom picture, well, that's what the official court person showed.
What an absolute
must be true.
What an absolute scam.
We got Gene, the Christian anarchist, breathing into his microphone. Hello, Gene, you're on Free Talk Live.
He must be in his helicopter, flying through the air as we speak.
Maybe he is. Gene,
I know,
are you there?
That's helicopter noise. I
Gene?
Can
going once, going twice. All right, we'll check back with him later.
Maybe he's talking to ground control.
Normally we don't
ground
screen the people.
Control
that,
to Mr. Gene.
If you're on Discord and you've called on Discord before and you've been fine, there's no real usual reason to screen it. But anyway, we'll check back with him. So toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. I don't know, is there anything else to say about California secession here?
I'm in support of it. But yeah, let's talk about this universal basic income because it's been in the news for a while.
It's been all over the news for like the last year at least, and it seems to be getting more.
Everyone's trying it.
It seems, no, not everyone's trying it. They want it, though. They, you know, people want the free money.
Well, the one country that tried it is
bailed on
it. Is reneged on it. This year is the last year. It's up.
I think it was Finland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right now, so
they stopped before it was even scheduled to be over.
Well,
they aborted.
They sat down and looked at it. It's like, hey,
the only way for this to continue is to increase
taxes by 30%.
And there's not 30% to raise taxes
because they're pretty heavily taxed in those.
And never mind.
Places.
So who is trying to do this? Because already I have a story from Chicago. One of their lawmakers is trying to do.
Stockton's going to do it too, isn't it? Stockton, California. There's some town
right,
in California.
They're going to do some kind of pilot program that's going to be privately funded
right,
to see how it works.
By a Facebook founder.
But this, it's an article from Fee talking about how horrible UBI is.
This is the first story that I have heard of to actually be against this universal basic income. I mean, we're obviously against it here on Free Talk Live.
Right.
We'll continue here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And the Skype username, if you want to join us there, is lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live. lrn.fm now has a Discord. Discord is a free text and voice chat platform, and we now have our own server with a bunch of channels at discord.lrn.fm. You can join other listeners as they chat about various things during our live shows, or anytime, day or night. Discord software is available cross-platform, so you can have it on whatever device you want and take your chats anywhere. Join our Discord at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm. It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. If you want to join us on the radio, you can. Our number here is 855-450, free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, Sacha Baron Cohen is back at it with his characters that he basically becomes and interviews unwitting dupes in the political field.
Do you think he becomes them as an acting or
like a method actor or whatever?
Do you think that
from what I've heard, he is a very method actor.
Meaning he is in the character whether they're recording or not.
Because his girlfriend, during the time that he was preparing to film Bruno, apparently his girlfriend at the time almost left him because he was in character for like all 9 months.
I am of the opinion that those are actually his personal personas. Those are actually people he is. He is acting how he would want to act if he could in public.
I mean, because there's different personas that have different opinions.
He's saying things that he would want to say in public. No, they're pretty much all the same. They all lean the same way.
Oh, no, sir. No.
Bruno was a flaming gay guy. Which is a completely different character than Borat,
who was a very conservative kind of sex obsessed, guy from Kazakhstan or whatever.
My sister is number four to prostitute in all of Kazakhstan.
And Ali G's just a dumbass.
I think they're all relative. I think they're all related to each other.
No. So
we'll
get into it.
I can't.
Because he's got four new characters now on this new series. So I'll tell you about them coming up here when we get into that. But we're going to get into universal basic income. Yeah. But I did check with Gene, the Christian anarchist, and he is out of the helicopter.
Yay,
Gene, you're back with us here on Free Talk Live via the Discord on air call in line room. Go ahead.
Hello, guys.
Hey there.
You guys mentioned Irwin Schiff earlier, and I knew Irwin, and I wanted to. Kind of set the record straight on just what it was that he taught.
Okay, sure.
And what it was, what his position was.
Yeah, I actually had his book, but I never read it. So.
And how he got screwed by the federal government into basically taking his life away from him.
Yeah, all right.
But the bottom line is, Irwin Schiff studied the tax code. Now, he went to prison one time, he got back out, and after he got back out, he studied the tax code more aggressively, and he came up. By the way, the book that he wrote that he's very famous for is called The Federal Mafia.
Didn't it get banned at one point?
No, when he was under indictment, they told him he couldn't sell the book. Hmm. So technically, it's not really banned. Yeah. He just couldn't sell it. So he made it free at that point. He just put it on the website and said, here, anybody wants it can have it free. But the reason that they attacked him was because he knew the IRS tax code better than any IRS agent or IRS attorney. And he could tear them inside out using that tax code, because the tax code, if you read it as a lawyer would read it and, look at it as the legal definition of everything, there's just no way that mumbo jumbo garbage can mean that we have to pay taxes. And that was his position. We really don't have time to go into all of the nuances here. But
you're referring to income tax or taxes in general?
Income tax, because he knew the IRS tax code. And I knew Irwin. I mean, I met him. I used to go talk to him at his seminars and stuff because I lived in Reno, Nevada. He lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so Irwin, I consider to be a friend. And anyway, there's too much to get into for me to explain what he knew about the tax code. But I'm telling you from personal experience, he knew the tax code better than the IRS. And that's why when they decided to shut him up and put him in prison or charge him with crimes so that they could put him in prison, the judge made sure that Irwin could never bring up the law. He could never talk about what his reasoning was for the position that he took, basically everything that would lead to intent, because intent is one of the things you have to prove in a court of law. So anything that would lead to his intent was completely barred from entering the courtroom. He couldn't talk about tax code law. He couldn't
That sounds like a federal courtroom to me. They generally will basically not allow you to defend yourself in the way you want to, like what happened during the Ross Ulbricht trial and other places.
That's correct. And if he had been able to bring that stuff up to the jury, I think he would have walked scot-free, and that's what they were scared to death of.
These are the same juries who, wasn't it Jose Padilla who they came back wearing red, white, and blue in this coordinated guilty hearing kind of thing where they basically sent this man up the river. Irwin
Schiff was a very charismatic guy who really had a way with words, and if they had let him let loose in front of that jury, they would have fallen in love with him, and they would have cut him free. I have absolutely no doubt about that. And that's the reason that they couldn't allow him to do any of that.
Right.
Because, you know, they were looking for a conviction. They were looking for an example so that people wouldn't. And that's one of the reasons that I finally gave up and started paying, because I realized at that point they are the federal mafia. They don't care about law. They don't care about rules. If their own law says that you can do something, but they don't want you doing it, they're going to set you up one way or another and throw away the keys, because that's what they are.
They do whatever they want.
After hearing a juror say that they would have convicted Martin Luther King and Gandhi because they both broke the law.
Yeah, this was in New Hampshire.
I have zero faith in juries.
Yeah, it's very rare to see a jury do the right thing. Although, I do actually have a jury.
I don't have any faith in judges either.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. If you need a case judged on a fact of law or an opinion, you know, about an interpretation of law, a judge is going to do a better job in a lot of cases than a jury will. But if you need a case thrown out because it's immoral, then only the jury can do something like that.
And anything that has to do with rights, you don't want to leave that in the hands of a judge.
I agree with that, no doubt about it. But if you're trying to, on a you know, sort of obscure legal fact or question or whatever, sometimes the judge is going to be a better judge there. Hey, thanks, Gene, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. In fact, speaking of good jury news, I do have a headline here, and we're not going to get into it because we've got other stuff that we need to talk about. But it's here to talk about in the future if we get a chance. Georgia jury recently found a marijuana grower not guilty.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we can tell you that's in Georgia. So we can tell you more about that later. And as I said, we got Sacha Baron Cohen's new show to talk about. But Daryl, let's get into the UBI story, Universal Basic Income. Finally, a piece from, in this case, the Foundation for Economic Education, fee.org, against UBI. After we've seen all this touting in the mainstream media about, well, this is going to happen. We've got to have UBI. Look at all these people who say we should have UBI. It's Richard Branson. It's Bill Gates. It's all these, you know, wealthy people. Here's the Facebook founder, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So author of this article says the idea of government providing income for all citizens is gaining currency. While today, universal guaranteed income is mostly pressed by the left, Milton Friedman once made an argument for it as well. But the proposal is blind to the predictable cost of an unprecedented social engineering experiment that would separate citizens from one of the most important sources of human flourishing. Freeing people from the necessity to work may sound like the last word in progressive altruism or in the efficient rationalization of social welfare, but it would undermine a pillar of our own personal and social order. Work has benefits beyond earning income. It provides the satisfaction of achievement, the discipline of focus on the desires of others, and the social bounds that our fellow workers provide. The left today often dismisses the virtues of work. Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich.
Well, that's because there's a certain group of people that don't want to work. There's a certain group of people that they're not interested in the sense of accomplishment. They'd rather get a sense of accomplishment from, you know, I don't know, playing a video game or something like that. They're not interested in getting out there and serving people and having people appreciate what they do. They'd rather just make some art or something like that, and they, you know, not care whether people appreciate the art or, well, I'm speculating here, right? But there are definitely, there's a certain type of person.
Right.
There's there's a guy at a left libertarian group
called Lazy.
He's argued against work in general, just like against work.
He wants the computers to do it, the robots.
Yeah, more coming up here in moments. We'll talk about UBI. It's Free Talk. Yeah. It's It's Free Talk Live, and you can dial in toll-free here. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. It's Skype username lrn.fm. There's also the Discord on-air call-in line room at discord.lrn.fm. So jump in there if you like. Don't forget, Bitcoin.com would like you to know about Save It Purse, now accepting Bitcoin Cash. We've talked about saveitpurse.com for years here on Free Talk Live, but not just talked about it. We've used them. I don't know if you use them, Conan, but Daryl and I have definitely used saveitpurse.com many dozens, me over, I think, 130 times in the last 3 years to save 20, 25, 30% or more, sometimes is up to 33% is the maximum discount you can get. I pretty much shoot for 20 because usually that'll get my item taken and purchased for me within usually the first day. But you can decide. So, like, there's something right now that I put up for 33% off because I really don't need it anytime soon. So we'll see if somebody bites on it. It's actually been up there for a few weeks, so it's got nothing. But usually at 20%, man, you'll get it. But previously to this summer, it had been Bitcoin BTC only on saveitpurse.com. Now you can use Bitcoin Cash. So if you want to save on fees, not pay the excessive sometimes Bitcoin fees at BTC, you can use Bitcoin Cash to fund your account at saveitpurse.com and save big time on your Amazon purchases. That's saveatpurse.com, saveitpurse.com. Daryl, you're sharing with us the story about the UBI, the so-called Universal Basic Income,
yes,
from the Foundation of Economic Education, who is against it.
Yeah, so again, the headline from Fee, a guaranteed income would undermine the social virtues of work. Continuing on, he says, the left today often dismisses the virtues of work. Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich is typical in saying that most jobs today do not provide fulfillment or creativity, but this claim just shows his impoverished imagination and empathy. Hmm. One does not need to write an article to exercise creativity. Any job with any discretion allows people the opportunity to think about how to serve strangers better. And even jobs without much discretion can give a sense of fulfillment by being done well. The breadth of the human need for employment can be measured in the great unhappiness that unemployment causes, even in most generous European welfare states. Moreover, work promotes the self-discipline required by society that is not disciplined by pervasive authority. Bourgeoisie virtues, which whenever I see that word, just because of the way it's spelled, the first time I ever saw it written, I thought it was Bergios.
Uh huh.
And then I heard
from the South.
Well, no, hooked on phonics. Like, if you see the word,
yeah.
You would not think.
You don't know it's French. You don't know.
That's French. You don't pronounce half the letters, and the ones you do pronounce, you don't pronounce the way they look.
I agree. It's if you don't know it's French, then you don't know how to pronounce it.
Bourgeoisie virtues like responsibility, accountability, and self-control that have long been acknowledged to spring from work help build the social norms that substitute for coercion.
Man, I can't imagine what life would be like for me if I hadn't been working as early as I was. I mean, I was working for my parents before I was legally able to work.
You'd be a lazy slob, Ian.
Well, I think that would be more likely.
I think the problem that we have in this world is that we have too many individuals who did not work at a young age.
Absolutely.
They did not have the drive and the incentive to actually pay for things that they wanted because they were already provided for them
by
their parents. So they weren't out there mowing lawns and doing other services to collect money to pay for video games, or however you would pay for video games. And so you have a whole generation. You have the millennials and the snowflakes who have never worked ever.
Well, I mean, there's millennials who've worked at this point, but
and some of them can't get jobs. Like, for my daughter had extreme difficulty getting a job because of the age limitations. No one was hiring anybody, 16 and below.
So she was too young, is what you're saying.
Oh, too young.
She was trying to get a job.
And then she didn't have any work experience for all of the entry-level jobs that now require work experience.
Yeah, that didn't help at all.
That's a thing now?
Oh, yeah, it's most definitely a thing. Huh. Almost every job now wants some kind of work experience.
And if there's competition, if there's five other people, applying for the same
job. But they don't want too much work experience.
Then you're not qualified.
You have four 25-year-olds who have worked at McDonald's or wherever, and then you have my daughter who's never worked a day in her life. Well, she's worked, but she's never worked in the public sector. She's never worked.
Never had a W-2 job.
Correct. And so who are they going to hire?
To this day, she hasn't had a W-2 job?
Oh, no, 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 no.
He's saying when she was applying for work, when she was still living
so
in Keene.
So somebody did hire her.
Oh, yeah, she figured it out, but it took a lot longer than I had to.
Huh.
I didn't jump through all these hoops.
The first job I applied for, I got in 1996. It was at Kmart. I got the exact job I wanted. I wanted to work in the electronics department at Kmart. It was right down the street from my house. Totally got that job.
I mean, I was always working. There was something always available to do.
All right, let's continue.
Continuing on, and habits of punctuality, thrift, and fair exchange do not stop at the workplace door, but spill over into personal life. There's more than a touch of Rogian romanticism in the devalorization of work, as if paid labor forges chains that keep us from realizing our perfect natural state rather than providing guide ropes for better behavior. For many people, work...
Well, the natural state is like a shrieking monkey, right? Going around flinging poo, attacking the people you don't like, and taking the things you want, right? Like, that's the state of nature. This is rising above that.
Yeah,
the,
but that's... But, the idea but, of work. But we have government, Ian. That'll keep us from flying poo at each other. Flinging.
Yeah, look at the prisons. They got plenty of government there, and they're throwing poo.
And the school system.
Do they do that in the schools?
That's where the abuse starts. That's where the bullying starts.
No, but I mean throwing poo. Maybe in the bathroom.
I'm thinking insults.
I've ever seen anything throw poo, it was a monkey at the zoo. I've never seen a human do that.
You didn't work in a prison, though, right? You worked.
But you worked
in a short term because prison.
In Pennsylvania. Every incarceration facility is called a prison.
But you were there on a short-term place. It was like a one-year place, right?
I quit after 9 months. It wasn't
short-term. I mean the people who were imprisoned there. Well, or was it a full-on prison with people there for 25, 30, 50
so
years?
So the maximum sentence that they would keep someone there was up to 2 years.
So it's more of like a jail.
It was the county prison.
Yeah.
So it was people with misdemeanors.
Right.
People awaiting trial on felonies. There was one guy in there because he kept playing the system. He was in there for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Going through some trials, but he just kept playing the system of firing his
sentence for 2 years and then get another sentence for 2 years.
No, kind of he kept firing his lawyers mid-trial and then hiring a new lawyer and then getting the judge to declare a mistrial and some other stuff.
Why? Just because he wanted three hots and a cot? Basically, he was totally institutionalized, wanted to stay in the prison.
Oh, no, he was facing life sentence.
Oh, I see.
But he was running drugs out of the county jail, and he had some of the prison guards helping him.
And he wanted to stay there.
He wanted to stay there instead of going to the state facility where he would have gone once he was sentenced.
I see.
By the way, chat room has called me out as far as labeling the millennials and the Zers as not working and as lazy. He says that he knows plenty of Zers who are hardworking and are always looking for overtime, and they got that college to pay off.
Oh, that's Dan in Nebraska.
I'm calling bull. I'm calling BS. I've worked with these guys, and they are, you know, well, they're younger and they haven't worked a whole lot, but I have worked with young people before who were going to make it in the world. The ones that have recently worked with. Not so much. They are always looking for time off. They're always looking for a way out. They're lazy as sin.
Shortcuts
all day long. They're always looking for a break. All right, tell me where you work, Dan, because in the real world,
Ian,
no.
I will say that when I worked hospital security, there were people in the mental institution portion that would smear their poo on the walls.
Yeah, there you go.
But they never actually flung it at anyone.
Yeah.
Let's continue
with
this article.
It has happened in prisons.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened everywhere.
Right. Well,
the point was Conan was like, the government would stop that
from happening. And I said, no, in the places where the most government is where it happens.
Most humans
aren't
flinging poo at other humans
being sarcastic, right?
Yeah.
Government's causing this nonsense. It's not going to prevent us from being better people.
Right. Government's prisons are bringing people back to a state of nature rather than...
Because people become reliant on the protective nature of government, taking care of them, feeding them, telling them when to wake up, telling them when to go outside and do some jogging. Yeah, I mean, this is what we need. We need the challenge. We need the incentive to work and to make money and to better ourselves. If everyone is taking care of everything, like UBI, what's the incentive to even wake up in the morning?
For many people, work also provides a crucial social network, Colleagues on the job are sounding boards, role models, and advisors in times of need. At a time when loneliness has been called a social crisis, it's the height of folly to undertake a program that will make it easier for people to drop out of social interactions and into social isolation.
Right, because the people that don't want to work, if they're getting a subsidy every month, are going to work less often or quit if they can afford it. More coming up here in moments. We got hour number three on the way. Plenty of time for your thoughts on the virtue of work. This is Free Talk Live. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. You can help by joining the AMP program for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com and getting perks. That's amp.freetalklive.com. It is Free Talk Live. Universal basic income. It's just constantly in the news, this concept that you should just be able to do nothing and the government will pay for it and that'll work out economically. No, it won't. Beyond the fact that the economics is terrible, the incentives are backwards, and it's, you know, bad for those reasons, and of course it's coercive. The Foundation for Economic Education is going into other reasons why it's bad, because it'll destroy, for a lot of people, the sort of the social, what they call the social virtues of work.
Right.
All the good things for the individual and for society that work does for people. And so it's Ian Conan and Daryl in the studio. We'll continue with that here in just a moment, because you said there's a little bit more.
Yes.
And then we'll get into Sacha Baron Cohen and his new Showtime series that premiered this week. Already, of course, offending pretty much a lot of people who've watched it from various different sides of the political spectrum.
I'm still mad about him, about the Ron Paul scene.
We're going first to Patty in Idaho. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Patty.
Now, Mr. Daryl, I had a question for you real quick. I think that you talking about this here article is funny and all, because you use this radio show to beg for money. You beg for money to go over to the Capitol to sit in front of all them legislatures and listen to them all day, and then you beg for money to go do some race. Now, do you think it's working to actually beg for money, or do you think you ought to work for someone and get a paycheck?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm begging for money. So you mentioned about a rate. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to respond to you. You mentioned about the race. So I'm running the New York City Marathon. The money that I am raising is money going to the Innocence Project. That's not money coming to me.
I can confirm that the Shire Free Church offered. Hold on. I'd like to confirm what it is he's saying here. That way you know he's not lying. I have, on behalf of the Shire Free Church, donated matching funds to this particular fundraiser, and I received a receipt from the Innocence Project. So it's not like you just took the money and, like, you know, spent it on hookers or something like that.
Right. Lobsters.
None of that money went toward a hotel. None of that money went toward a plane.
It's just a fundraiser for a charity.
I'm paying for the hotel out of my pocket. I'm paying for my travel down to New York City out of my pocket.
But Patty was correct. You do ask for money to support your crowd-funded lobbyist campaign.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Begging for money.
What's wrong? He's a crowd-funded lobbyist. The whole idea behind crowdfunding, maybe you've never heard of it before, is where you go to the crowd. You go to the masses and you say, hey, I'm doing this thing that you might like. If you like it, you can support me.
Right.
And that's what's happening there.
That sounds about like someone sitting on the side of the road with a sign asking for money. To me, I'm actually doing things.
Right.
What are you doing? You're sitting in front of the legislature going out to eat. And you just sitting there doing what? Nothing? Or maybe talking a time or two?
I do not take politicians out to lunch. I don't take politicians out to supper. Are you going to let me respond or not?
I put him on hold. Go ahead.
So I have never actually reached the funding goal for the lobbyist firm, but I'm still at the legislature when they're in session.
What's your goal?
$5,000 a year.
And
I've come close.
And you are at what?
Well, it changes because sometimes
some
there's one
time.
Sometimes there's one-time contributions that come in. There are some recurring contributions. Last year, I came within like $500. So I've come close.
Wasn't last year your first full year?
Yeah.
I mean, to hit 95 or 90% of your goal in the first year.
I've come close, but I also, you know, have wound up, gone up before I ever created the lobbyist firm.
Right.
So go up, testify on legislation, talk to politicians. And
there's
I'm doing this whether I make the goal or not.
Right.
I'm just trying to help offset some of my costs.
Yeah, why shouldn't he be able to do that, Patty, given that the, you know, the typical lobbyist is going to corporations, they're getting big,
the typical
deep
lobbyist
pocket
is getting $5,000 to $10,000 per quarter.
Right. They're getting deep pocket corporations like, you know, Budweiser or whoever to sponsor them to go and do their bidding, the corporate bidding. Daryl is providing a service
on behalf of the people,
on behalf of individuals who wish to sponsor him to do this service. And as he pointed out, he would do it anyway as much as he could.
Right.
This just allows you to devote more time to it.
Right.
To, you know, focus on this rather than it being something you do in your spare time. It can be something
Correct.
You're doing more professionally. I mean, Patty, what's your problem with that?
It's just funny that y'all sit here and talk about your strong work ethic, yet then you're on the radio trying to ask for money to do your work. And I guess that's a different way of looking at
why
it.
Why shouldn't somebody be able to get rewarded for doing work? That's why you work, right? Is so you can take a paycheck home?
I do get a pay, and I'm an old man now. Maybe that's the reason everybody does a little different.
Yeah,
and
so it's called the new. This is called a new economy, right? Where you don't have to go through the old methods to make money these days. You can go directly to the individuals who you service. So when you're working for a boss, you got to make the boss happy. You got to do the things the boss wants you to do. Daryl's got what? 50 bosses, 100 bosses, basically, however many donators you have. I don't know.
Probably
I've never asked you.
25,
so
30.
A couple dozen, few dozen folks.
Right.
You know, that means not one person gets undue influence on
Correct.
Him. If somebody gets mad and says, oh, Daryl, you said something in front of the legislature I don't agree with, they pull their support.
If he doesn't provide customer satisfaction at the end of the day, that's it. There
it's not just that. It's them teachers getting the summer off, but they get paid. Or them
well, those are government workers. Teachers work for the government, and I agree with you.
Not even the government. No, any seasonal worker that only works during for like 6 to 8 months and then takes the rest of the time off. I just think working year-round, 40 hours a week, is the right way to go, but I could be wrong.
You could be wrong. But it might be right for you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, there's a time and a place, and everyone does something different. And I just want to say,
I've had a 40-hour week job before.
You two guys are some of the hardest working guys I know.
Yeah, thanks.
Guys
man.
Are constantly busy putting things out, you know, going to film, just filming my stinking court case last week. I mean, that was hours out of your morning.
I'd get up early for that one.
Yeah, that was an early one. It was nice that it was speed trial, but I mean, you guys, I work in a lot of different places. I move around a lot, and I've seen different types of work ethics and work attitudes out there, and I'm impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do much besides work, and that could be a critique against me, is that I might
work a little too
much.
It could also be that you guys don't have a life either, because you're always constantly outputting content.
Yeah, I've had to, you know, force myself to
take time
do
off.
Stuff other than work. And a lot of the stuff that I do when I'm not working is other stuff that, you know, kind of is like work. So,
well, right, like on a Libertarian Party meeting or something, you've got the executive committee
that
you're on. Or
then, you know, like training for races. That's
there's
kind
discipline.
Of like
it's
there's
discipline.
There's a lot of discipline. There's a lot of time that gets invested into that.
Yep.
And a lot of people, you know, they're like, that's too much, you know, work.
I don't want to do that crap.
Maybe but as far as what you guys do and asking for donations, asking for money for what you provide, I think this is the new way. I prefer this method because you actually you're rewarded for your content.
Right. Like every podcast that I listen to, they will pitch at the end, hey, if you like it, head to Patreon.
Patreon,
throw us a couple bucks.
You can't do YouTube anymore. I guess they kind of.
You have to do that because if you're a podcaster, you don't have a, you know, if you're not Adam Carolla or Joe Rogan or, you know, one of these Hollywood people who's got a huge fan base that's going to listen to every word that comes out of their mouth by default, if you're starting something new from scratch, you've got to ask your fans for support. You're not going to make anything initially. There's no way you can go to an advertiser,
and,
you know, right out the gate.
A lot of those ad companies, they'll say, oh, all right, once you get like 25,000-30,000 downloads per episode, then we might have something.
That's 10 times what we get, and we've been podcasting since 2005, since there was the podcast concept created. Right. We were putting out archives years before that, you know, when you had to manually go and download the archives from the website. So we've been doing digital delivery of audio, MP3 audio, for the entire time Free Talk Live has been on the air, since night number one in November of 2002. And, you know, you've got to go to the people.
Finally do get advertisers, then perhaps you become beholden to those advertisers.
You got
to
watch out for that.
You got to watch out for what you say. You got to make them happy because they might drop you overnight.
And having the people supporting you is a way that you can protect yourself from feeling like you've got to be desperate for advertisers and take on questionable clients. And if I hadn't been here, boy, Mark would have taken on some real questionable clients. More coming up. Free Talk Live, dial in toll free. Bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We've been talking about the universal basic income, which ended up turning into a conversation just about new types of funding methods, crowdfunding, in the case of your crowdfunded lobbyist that you do, which is called Liberty Lobby. We didn't mention that in the last segment, I don't think. LibertyLobby.info, I believe, is the current website where you can go and you can listen to Daryl at some audio-only hearings where you'll record the entire hearing that you where you speak. Maybe not the whole hearing, but at least your portion of speaking.
I will upload my portion. I generally do record the entire thing instead of just, you know, turning the recorder on just before I start speaking and turn it off. And there are a couple of hearings where I did upload the entire testimony.
Because it was that important. You thought you really wanted to put that up there. And then, of course, there's a lot of them that I've video recorded over the last couple of years. I know you've linked to some of that at your site. And then, of course, there's a lot more state house testimony hearings. So if you're into that, if you're into looking at what happens in, it's an ugly process. I mean, I don't recommend.
There's a reason they say that if you like sausage or laws, never watch how they're made.
Yeah. So if you are into that, then you can go to the Free Keen YouTube channel, and there's hours and hours and hours of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
There. As well as some cool civil disobedience videos. Like, there's the whole range.
And hours and hours and hours could be just one hearing.
Yeah, it could be. So check him out over at libertylobby.info if you want to get behind his funding efforts, because you're going to be gearing up again to hit up the state representatives later this year, coming soon, I'd imagine, because they've got to file their legislation coming up for the next year. Very soon.
And at some point in the not too distant future, there's going to be a special session to deal with how New Hampshire is going to respond to that horrible Supreme Court ruling that we discussed that says that states can force companies that aren't physically located in their state to pay sales tax to customers or because of sales that happen. So, for instance, a New Hampshire company like Think Penguin, if they sell a computer to someone in South Dakota,
where they're trying to tax outside entities,
and they wind up, you know, doing enough sales, then the state of South Dakota would say, Think Penguin, you have to give us a bunch of sales tax money now.
So what is this special session?
The governor is trying to he's already announced that he's going to call a special session, which means that the legislature will convene for the purpose of
this one thing.
Hearing this one thing.
Which is expensive, right? Because they got to pay them all for gas or whatever.
There's also been a couple of things that he vetoed, so they'll probably wind up saying, while we're here, we're going to vote on overriding vetoes.
Interesting. Okay.
They'll just, you know, probably have it be a multi-purpose thing unless the governor says you can't do anything other than this.
Because this is a part-time legislature, and normally they only really meet regularly in the wintertime, basically. That's pretty wintertime, early spring.
From January through mid-May.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. So anyway, we're going to continue with your calls and thoughts.
Well, Daryl,
yeah.
Why haven't they gone to online conferencing yet? What is so hard about that? I mean, everyone.
It would be hard as hell with 400 people. I mean, there'd have to be some kind of complicated system of signaling to.
Yeah, but hold on.
Compared to the gas money.
Hold on. I've been on conferences with 20 people, yep. And it was an absolute S show.
Yep.
I would not want to be on a conference with 399 other people. My job.
No, not the House hearings. I'm talking about the committees.
Oh. It would still be hard. It's hard because you can't make eye contact with people. And then where would the people
where would the people go to testify? How would you wind up signaling, I want to testify? It would be an absolute S show.
Yeah, you'd be better off just shutting down the government than trying to change
it. I like that idea, too.
So let me see here. We got Mortified Penguin on the line. He's on Skype and calling from Virginia, I believe. Hello, Penguin.
Yeah, thank you, Minister. Hey. I actually wanted to call about a new story I heard this morning. And it was about the Las Vegas shooting and the fallout from that.
Okay.
So apparently the MGM that owns the Mandalay Bay Hotel is suing the victims that were a thousand or more victims and victims surviving, you know, family members were suing the MGM. Mm-hmm. And they're counter-suing, I guess. But they were suing, you know, because of liability, I guess, for the attack, the deadly attack there. And they were counter-suing the victims because under a law passed after the September 11th attacks that limited or, you know, prevented liability under, you know, due to terrorist attacks of some sort. I don't know the specifics.
Why are they suing? I mean, they're not going to get money out of these victims. What are they suing for?
I saw the headline on this and read like the first paragraph of the thing, and it was some kind of lawsuit to prevent the people that were injured from being able to sue.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse class action.
Daryl, I believe you are correct. They are protecting themselves. They don't want to be sued.
Well, they shouldn't
the
be held liable for some maniac. I mean, how the hell were they supposed to do something about this nut job?
What I'm saying. What conceivably could they have done?
I mean, I can't understand why they would countersue. That's the confusing part to me.
It's like a reverse class action.
Somehow he was able to get these hundreds of pounds of weapons up to his suite, so they could be held responsible for not monitoring their hallways and their elevators. He used the service elevator.
He's got a bunch of boxes or cases or whatever with guns in, it's none of their damn business what he's bringing into the hotel. What are they going to do? Start searching everybody who comes into their hotel? I mean, that's not a precedent you want to set.
Maybe someone wants to set that precedent.
Well, and they were talking about that in the aftermath, but I mean, it just hasn't happened because it's just not feasible. I mean, there were a lot of things talking about in the industry. I'm in that industry, by the way.
Hotel?
I work in that industry.
Hotel?
Yeah. So okay. So I listen out for that kind of thing. And it just, I mean, maybe at some hotels, yes, that's a really high profile place, but that's just not feasible.
No.
You know, I mean, to search
people,
it's not going to be
checkpoints at every damn hotel lobby. That's crazy. But yes, I agree with you, Conan. There are probably people that want that.
Oh, most definitely.
But they're not going to get that. That's, I'm sorry. I mean, the courts aren't going to rule in favor of, I sure hope they're not going to rule in favor of the plaintiffs in that case.
But whatever.
Since the attack, more than 2,500 people have brought lawsuits or threatened to file lawsuits against MGM Resort International and its subsidiaries.
Of course, the lawyers are trying to, you know, get people to let them sue or pay them to sue them or whatever. I wonder how many of the attorneys are taking those pro bono or on spec.
They're talking about the negative publicity from MGM, but I mean, can they really withstand like 1,000 suits or 1,000 victims or so, or 1,000 parties?
MGM,
suing
they
them?
Can
like,
afford a lot of attorneys.
They can
casino.
Afford attorneys.
No, but can they afford to lose the lawsuit?
Well, no.
Right.
I mean,
so article here from CNN says the owners of Mandalay Bay say that they bear no responsibility for the shooting.
Of course not.
They're facing a barrage of lawsuits over the shooting and responded by naming more than 1,000 of the shooting victims as defendants in two lawsuits of their own. Huh. They're not seeking monetary damages, but citing federal laws are asking the courts to protect them from legal action filed by the victims. So it's essentially a reverse class action lawsuit. Huh.
Without money.
Correct.
Because in a class action suit, if you're on the winning team, you get like 7 cents.
Right. So it's we're filing suit against everybody in America to prevent them from suing us for damages.
Interesting. Thanks for the call tonight, Penguin, for bringing that up. I appreciate it. The toll-free number is 855-450, free like freedom. Coming up, Sacha Baron Cohen, the creator of Borat. And
Bruno.
Ali G, he's back at it with four new characters and taking on the American political class. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm. It is Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Join us here. The number 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, by the way, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
And want to make sure you know about AnyPay. If you operate a retail business and you're looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance, it has never been easier thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. I can't tell you how important that is. If you've ever looked into the process of getting some sort of a system for accepting cryptocurrency at retail, they all want to know your social security number, your bank account information. AnyPay, all they need is your username and password, and you can set those to be whatever you want. And that's it. Then you're in. You sign up. You drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in their setup page and load the app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash and others at your store. Get started now at AnyPay.global. AnyPay.global. Sacha Baron Cohen is back, and it must be like 18 years. Because I remember watching Ali G and Borat a long time ago. It seems like 2002 would have been the range.
Ali G was 1998 when it started.
Was it? Yeah, it sounds about right. Wow. So he created these characters years ago and managed to pull the wool over all kinds of political animals' eyes in the UK. And then he brought his characters over to the United States, and he did the same thing with those same characters. But eventually people started to learn the characters.
He said the worst thing about his characters and why they never, ever reemerge is because people figure out, oh, that's Borat.
They
oh, that's Ali G.
Yep.
Oh, that's Bruno. We can't – anything you say to him is going on the candid
right.
camera.
There's a limited lifespan for these right. characters. And so now he's got four new ones. And so it's a Showtime series called Who is America? It started on Sunday night, so I presume it's going to be on Sunday nights. I don't know how many episodes it's slated for, but it's going to be a good one. I watched the first episode this week. Here's an angry – opinion piece about the episode from Lucy Mangan, who doesn't even look happy in her in her Guardian photo here. She's got it's like an opinion kind of section of the culture section of the Guardian.
She's just serious.
Oh, and
she's unhappy.
That's how all my photos look. I don't smile in my photos.
Was Roy Moore shown in whatever you watched?
No.
Because apparently Roy Moore, one of the people that got duped here, has threatened to file a lawsuit if any of the footage is shown on Showtime.
Oh, good. I bet Showtime will love that.
I've got a list here from the website Vulture.com of all the people that Sacha Baron Cohen has duped so far with
this new series. Okay.
Dick Cheney.
Ooh, Bernie Sanders.
Sarah Palin. Joe Walsh, There were
scrolling
half a down,
there
Ted
were a
Koppel,
dozen of them.
Roy Moore, Austin Rhodes, who is somebody I'm not familiar with, apparently an Augusta, Georgia.
I don't know how long this list is
going to
be. There were at least a dozen in the first episode.
Joe Arpaio.
Let's get into the what happened in the first episode here, because I want people to know about the show. So here's the story from The Guardian, which does a decent job of summarizing, although it's obviously going to have some opinion. There are, gosh, testing times for anyone who's still trying to keep alive the distinction between truth and lies, reality and fiction, the president of the United States and an ambulant cheese stick, sanity and madness, and even more testing, it turns out, for anyone attempting comedy based on a shared and certain vision of those categories and depending on the collective recognition of deviation from them for laughs. Sacha Baron Cohen, the inventor of parodic luminaries such as Ali G, Borat, and fashionista Bruno, is back with a new set of characters, using heavy prosthetics this time to disguise his now well-known face. In Who Is America? As with his earlier creations, they are designed to dupe and manipulate prominent people into saying unfortunate things and test the limits of individual gullibility.
And, of course, edit the video to make it look like they're dumb as...
Of course.
Dumb as rocks.
And with his earlier work, the characters themselves are brilliantly done. In the opening episode, he produces Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr., the founder of an alt-right conspiracy theorist InfoWars-like website who hates on Obamacare because it forced him to go to the doctor and find out he had two types of diabetes, obese legs, and chalky deposits, unquote. He also has that's the first character you're introduced to.
This is the one that interviewed Sarah Palin and asked Sarah Palin a question about Chelsea Clinton's sex change.
This will be in a later episode that wasn't this week, so that has yet to air.
Okay.
In this week's episode, the Billy Wayne guy meets up with a couple of right-wingers, basically, and chats. Or no, excuse me. Billy Wayne meets with Bernie Sanders. That's the first. It's the opening scene. So Bernie Sanders is the first victim in this particular case. Now, you can kind of feel like Sacha Cohen may be a left-leaning person based on kind of the feel of the show, but he's going after everybody here.
Right.
And did he make him look like an idiot? That's all I'm asking. That's all I want.
He didn't make Bernie look as much like an idiot.
But probably Palin.
Well, that didn't happen
yet. Of course.
So.
And that there's an apology letter that Billy Wayne Ruddock posted on Twitter that mm-hmm. I would love to get to.
The character? As the
yes.
character? Okay, hold on. So let me at least get through the four characters here because we're pretty short on time.
Yep.
We can talk more about this too because they're the gun segment.
Oh yeah, this is just episode one. There's six more.
The bulk of this show was the gun segment, and oh my god, that alone deserves some discussion. But anyway, going on. In the opening episode, you get Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr. and then the wet bag hat wearing. He had the pea hats.
Okay.
Yeah. The little pink hats
yep.
that people were wearing. That he was wearing liberal. Nira Kane Nigocello, quote, and this is how he introduces himself in this segment, "I'm a cisgender white heterosexual male for which I apologize," was part of his self-introduction in the segment, where he then sits down with this ultra-liberal character who's wearing an NPR shirt, you know,
okay.
sits down at a dinner table with a couple of Trump-supporting Republicans and talks to them. And those two actually seemed relatively like... with it. Like, they didn't seem like they were... It wasn't the most offensive section. It wasn't the most gotcha section.
Okay.
I would say it's probably the weakest as far as the comedy was concerned. But it was funny because in that segment, Sacha Cohen was really doing most of the comedy. So the character was funny. It wasn't as funny with the victims in that one. So it really wasn't typical in that way. But going on, he also has ex-con Rick Sherman, who paints with his own feces and ejaculate. And that segment was just bizarre.
I'm sure.
He meets with an art gallery lady. And this lady seems to be taking him seriously.
Oh, yeah, because you can't deny art.
Right.
Art is art.
And at one point, he pulls out he shows her the art that he made in prison with his fecal
yep.
matter and ejaculate. And she's commenting on how nice it is and this and that. And eventually he pulls out a brush that he claims was made from the pubic hairs of various famous people or whatever, artists or prisoners. I forget who, but, you know, famous pubic hairs. And asks her to contribute to it. And she does it.
She doesn't?
She does.
Oh,
she contributes her own pubic hair to this man who's a very, you know, creepy kind of jail, you know, ex-con looking dude. And then finally, the final segment, which is the bulk of the show, was former Israel Army Colonel Eran Murad with a very heavy, over-exaggerated accent, I will add, and very obvious, like, facial prosthetics. Keen to extend his child-arming Kindergartens program into the United States. They're all convincing, committed performances, meticulously prepared and backed up by formidable wit and intelligence that allow him to pivot and follow wherever his patsy seems poised most fruitfully to take him. But also with his earlier work, it's also not always clear who or what the target is, and more often than not, the interviews seem to end up proving the strength of people's politeness rather than the weakness of their principles. They probe the limits of their patience rather than their gullibility or their self-belief. This was fairly faintly tedious and frustrating back in what I think it has become reasonable to call simply the before times, when no more than ordinarily misguided incompetent buffoons ran the world, and our problems existed in no more than three manageable humanoid dimensions instead of bursting forth from a shadow cyberstate. We're coming up here in moments about the first episode of the new series Who is America by Sacha Baron Cohen that aired Sunday on Showtime. This is Free Talk Live. You can, of course, bring up what you want in these remaining moments. We may have time for you if you dial in now. 855-450-FREE like freedom. 855-450-3733. Doing a recap from this week's episode of Who is America? The new Sacha Baron Cohen gig, where he's now four characters, one of whom is a ultra-right-wing supposedly disabled former military veteran crackpot.
Not military.
Oh, really?
Was in the service.
Which service?
United Parcel.
This is from a letter that he wrote to Sarah Palin.
Right, which demanded an apology.
We should hold until Palin's actually on the show. We should hold that letter until that time. Because she wasn't on this week. Now, Bernie Sanders was, and a bunch of pro-gun people got skewered majorly. We'll get into that coming up here in moments. And he's going after everybody. He went after the left. He went after the right. So let's talk to, let's see, we've got, I think Big Loaf is on the line here. Big Loaf, are you with us? Big Loaf on the Discord on-air call-in line room. Going once. Going twice.
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. All right, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. So, Conan, like a week or so ago, I think it was you that brought up, in a roundabout way, alternatives to Facebook. And so I was really calling in to talk about that, especially with the latest Recode interview with Zuckerberg, where he goes over, among other things, whatever responsibility for quote-unquote fake news they have on their platform and whether or not to censor some or shed a ban at whatever. And one of those alternatives I wanted to talk about is Mastodon. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, back when it first started almost a year ago, right? I know that I got on board. I have an account.
So for people that have never heard of this, what is it?
It's like a decentralized Twitter.
Okay.
It's very Twitterish.
It's a decentralized Twitter, meaning that anybody can run a server. All the servers can connect together, kind of like the IRC network or the Riot network, where individuals can run these things, and then you can have people sign up on your server, but they can get federated, if you will, out to other servers.
Yeah, I remember when GNU tried some kind of something, and it never really took off.
Yeah, I was looking at this recently. I forget. I think maybe somebody called about it a couple weeks ago, or somehow it came across my purview, and I was looking at it and thinking, oh, do we want to do this? I'm like, I don't need anything else to moderate. So I didn't decide to move forward with it. But yeah, if anybody wants to go try it out, there's a bunch of public servers that you can join. And then purportedly, as long as the server supports free speech, you would have freedom of speech on this platform, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea, right? And you get to federate with who you want to federate with and mm-hmm. not don't want to, right? And Dara, I think the alternative you were talking about might have been called Diaspora, or maybe it was GNU Social, one of the others, right? And Mastodon, I think, actually leverages GNU Social and the API from that project. I just think it's really cool that it's an open source alternative to an otherwise centralized, somewhat authoritarian leaning, it seems at times, social network.
Yeah, Twitter is very authoritarian leaning. Absolutely. And they've shut down a lot of accounts over political reasons. So this is a way around that. Thanks for bringing that up, Big Loaf. Anything else you want to share?
Y'all take it easy.
All right, appreciate the call tonight. On our Discord on-air call-in line room, where you can jump in over at discord.lrn.fm. So, again, I'm sharing with you a summary and opinion on the new show by Sacha Baron Cohen, Who is America? This was obviously written by a leftist, and she's mad. She's mad because this show, which seemed to have a leftist slant, was not leftist enough for her. So here's her critique. To interview Bernie Sanders as his first character, this is the right-wing character that he's created called Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr.
Dr. Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr.
As Ruddock does, and spend that precious time arguing that he should make all Americans part of the 1% elite by, quote, moving the nines, he pulls out this piece of paper with this quixotic math that's not really math, explaining how all of the people could become the 1% and is trying to explain this to Bernie Sanders. It's basically a segment to test Bernie Sanders' patience and see how far.
It sounds like all of these characters are in an attempt to see how long they could spoof these people until they finally,
The gun thing goes over and above that. But yes, that's definitely true of the first character here, the Ruddock with Sanders. She goes on complaining. She says, instead of, high-fiving and thanking Sanders for draining Hillary's resources, lets both Sanders and far-right conspiracy theorists off too lightly while preaching to the choir about the imbecility of certain known imbecilic types. Worse still, she says, is the segment with Kanan DeGocello, who is the liberal, ultra-liberal character that he created, who sits down to dinner with Trump supporters, Jane Page Thompson and her husband, in their South Carolina home, and asks not one question about their continued support of the man, likely to be impeached before the cheese course. Instead, he paints himself as an increasingly extreme liberal who encourages his daughter, Malala, to free bleed on the U.S. flag, and whose partner is having an open affair with a porpoise.
Well, that sounds about right. Yeah. I can see that conversation from the left.
The Thompsons' smiles become fixed, but he's a guest in their home and they treat him as such. Thus, all Baron Cohen succeeds in doing is humanizing two Trump diehards.
Well, we haven't seen the Palin interview yet, so she might completely change her tune. Once the Palin interview comes out, she might be praising this guy.
Oh, I'm just giving you what her opinion is on this one episode. She's doing a decent recap.
Yeah, she's butthurt.
Oh, she is. Partial redemption, she says, at least comes in the final segment after a dismal interaction with a fecal artist and a gallery owner in Laguna Beach, which requires her to sit through the sound off of offstage huffings as he produced one of his works. He actually gets up in the middle of the interview, grabs a magazine, and goes into the bathroom and creates some art for her on the scene.
Wow.
So here we go. Marad, this is the Israel gun guy, gets various gun nuts in and outside Washington to promote arming preschoolers. Quote, fill the puppy pistol by pushing his lunchbox into his belly and sending the naughty me for a really, really naughty man for a really, really long time out, says one joyously. The gun lobbyist Larry Pratt notes that if children are young enough, quote, if they haven't developed a conscience yet, they can make very good soldiers, unquote. The final, most insoluble problem presents itself. If it would be funny only if it weren't so frightening. Let me tell you more about this gun segment here and stop down this recap. This was amazing to watch. It was really the best segment of all four of them. It was also the longest one. He interviews, and I've got a lengthy piece that really digs into it. In fact, the headline here from Mashable.com, gun rights activist claims he totally knew he was in a skit in Who is America. So one of these guys, Philip Van Cleve, wrote an article on his website, apparently, for some website, claiming he knew about this, he figured it out, but he went along with it anyway. And if you watch this episode, you will be amazed at what Sacha Cohen got these pro-gun people to do. Now, look, I'm in favor of self-defense, okay? I'm a libertarian. I believe in your right to self-defense, and you should be able to have a gun. But they literally got these gun guys to say, or to at the very least appear to say, and it seemed like they said it. It didn't seem like tricky editing or anything like that, that they supported preschoolers using guns in self-defense. It was insane what this guy got them to say. And then they go as and they're in this part of this video for the kindergartner or kindergartner guardians, or I think what they called it. And the idea was that they would teach kids as young as age 3 or 4 to fire guns in self-defense, which anybody that supports gun rights should at the very least understand. You don't put a gun in the hands of a 3-year-old.
Right.
No matter how much instruction or how many adults are around, you don't do that. Now, there is an age at which a child is ready, and I'm sure that age is different for each child. There is an age at which a child can and absolutely should, in, you know, gun-friendly families, be brought to the gun range and taught the basics and supervised. I think I was at the range between somewhere in 8 and 10 years old, somewhere in that range with my parents or with my dad. So, I mean, it's possible at the later side of the first 10 years.
Right.
But 3, 4? I mean, how could somebody possibly be duped into saying something like that on television? It was amazing to watch it happen. Hilarious. And as this person in the article here, the one point I do agree with her on, it's pretty scary. The fact that they could even somehow trick these people to say these things,
right,
my jaw had dropped watching this. It was amazing. She says the final most insoluble problem presents itself. It would be only funny, or it would be funny only if it weren't so frightening. Most of what they say is already on record and has been publicly cheered to the rafters by people whose views aren't going to change by the addition of some minor logical absurdism. If it's being played for laughs, it's a venture that needs to stick to embarrassing people with rude pictures. If it's aiming for satire, it needs a clear, worthy target and unerring aim. Maybe the much-hyped coming confrontations with Sarah Palin and Roy Moore will refine the scattergun approach, she says.
Yep, so, that's what she's waiting for.
This is a show worth keeping an eye on. It seems like due to this opening episode, he's going to be going after everybody and anybody.
Good.
Nobody is going to be safe from this.
That's why South Park is so popular.
And kudos to him. He really did a great job with the first episode. It's, again, Who is America? It's airing on Showtime on Sunday nights. We'll see you tomorrow. Free Talk Live.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world. So I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here. And I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.